Well, we're back in Hebrews tonight, chapter 11. We covered one verse this morning. We'll cover another one tonight. Verse 22. Hebrews 11 and verse 22. By faith, that word we see over and over again in Hebrews 11. It's a challenge to the Hebrew Christians to live by faith. Just keep going. Don't turn back. And it's a challenge to you and me today that we have the examples of all these people. We should just persevere. Just keep going. Keep living by faith. So these are here as an example for us and challenge to us. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Two specific things are noted about Joseph. The departing, or the exodus, of the children of Israel out of Egypt, going back to the land of Canaan, the promised land. Secondly, concerning his bones, his carcass. He was embalmed, but at this point, you know, it's they're there 400 years. And so, you know, after a couple hundred years, probably don't have much left. But they preserved his bones and did not bury him. They didn't put him in one of the pyramids. They left it where people could see as a testimony that one day we're going back. One day we'll be in the land of Canaan, the land of promise, that covenant that God made with our father Abraham. We go back to the parallel passage in Genesis 50. There's only 50 chapters in Genesis. And this is a fine way to conclude the book of Genesis. We have, of course, the creation. We know how the world came about. The land, the animals, fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and man himself. We read about the fall of man, the dispersing of man, the flood. And we read about the calling of Abraham. And a lot of the book of Genesis talks about how God sought out a man that he could leave a remnant to give the gospel, to give a way for men to know how to be restored back to God. And this concludes the book of Genesis in chapter 50. We'll start reading in verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. Don't pass over that part of it. That's important. So he said to his brethren, I die. He's at the point of death. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. What a way to conclude a book. He was put in a coffin in Egypt. You know, that's dramatic. But there was a purpose in us seeing how that book ended so that we know where it's headed. Because the truth is, every one of us someday will be put in a coffin and be buried. But that's not the end of it. That's not over. There's something yet to come. He being dead yet speaketh. And there will be a day when the Lord comes back for his own. We'll be reunited with our loved ones who are saved in heaven. There'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb. We understand that death does not end all. There is a point about the fact that he died, but that he had the belief he would live again. There would be no reason to take his bones back to Canaan if there was no purpose. It was Jacob's bones were taken back, and perhaps because he wanted to be buried near his family. But it's a little different with Joseph, where he saw something beyond that. There was a purpose. They wanted to know that God would fulfill his promise. Chapter 50 then records the burial of Jacob, the death of Joseph, and completes the history of the chosen family of God. And it's amazing when you look at the life of Joseph, they had any faith at all. When you realize what happened, of course, he was the next to last son of Jacob out of the 12 sons, Benjamin being born later. And he went through a tremendous number of trials and struggles and unfairness. And you'd wonder, why would anybody not be bitter? Why would you not be angry? And yet we see that's not the mentioning of his faith. He lived by faith, I believe, then. But the thing that was mentioned does not refer to any of those things. By the way, the most perfect type of Jesus Christ found in the Bible is this man, Joseph. If you read any other book, you wouldn't find it like the Bible is, where there are certain parallels of things and meanings. They're not really hidden, and yet, you know, there's the mystery of the church that develops. You see the sacrifice of Isaac, picturing Jesus who would become the Lamb of God slain. All the aspects of the tabernacle and the temple had certain types or certain purposes or figures that pointed to biblical truth and the future. You don't read any book like that. But the Bible's filled with these things. And I want to just give some of the things, and you probably don't have time to write them all down, but showing the correlation of this man, Joseph, with Jesus Christ. Joseph was loved by his father. And God said, "This is my beloved son." Joseph's brothers did not believe him and hated him. He came into his own received him not. They didn't believe in Christ either. Joseph's brothers rejected his right to rule. And it says in Luke 19, "We will not have this man to rule over us." Joseph's brothers conspired against him. The Bible says of Jesus, they took counsel against him. They stripped Joseph of his garments, and they stripped Jesus of his. Joseph was sold for silver. Jesus was sold for silver. Everything Joseph put in his hand prospered. And at the pleasure of the Lord prospered his hand, Isaiah says, of Christ. All things were laid into Joseph's trust. And John says, God hath given all things into his hand. Joseph's own brothers did not recognize him. And it says the Jews did not recognize their Messiah. Joseph was tempted and did not sin. Jesus was tempted in all things, yet without sin. Joseph was bound when he was thrown into the pit. Jesus was bound and taken to Gethsemane. Joseph was condemned with two criminals. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. One criminal was given life. The other one was condemned of Joseph, the baker and the butler. Jesus told one of the criminals, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Joseph's brothers bowed their knee to him. And at the name of Jesus, someday every knee shall bow and tongue confess that he is Lord. Joseph was 30 years old when this happened, and that's about the age of Jesus, 33 probably. God planned the suffering of Joseph in advance to save many. We know God meant it for good. And God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son that we might have eternal life. Joseph was made a ruler over all of Egypt. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me, heaven and earth." Joseph married a foreign bride who shared his glory. And every believer, we are joint heirs with Christ, and we'll be at that marriage supper of the Lamb. Joseph was cast into a pit and then later delivered out of it. And Jesus died, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. Joseph was imprisoned based on false charges. Well, during the trial of Jesus, false witnesses were brought in to testify against him. Joseph's brothers later repented for what they said, what they did to him. And Zechariah said, "And they shall look on me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn." There's probably even more. Maybe some of these it's hard to see, but it's pretty clear. There's a similarity between the life of Joseph to give us an idea of our Savior. Yet none of those things are mentioned in his life of faith. All the good things he did, his dreams, his visions, saving of his family, none of that's mentioned as his life of faith. the thing that is mentioned is the departing out of Egypt and taking his bones back to that land. That's the only thing referred to. Here he is at the end of his life giving advice to his family. And his concern was the furtherance of God's testimony that people will know the truth. He was less concerned about the riches of Egypt. The pyramids, we believe, were there at that time, probably during the time even of Abraham. He could have been embalmed and put in one of the pyramids. He was that important and that much a celebrity. We know that to be true when you look at the death of his father Jacob. They took up all these rulers and princes and a great caravan of people after Jacob died, out of respect for Joseph, went all the way to the land of Canaan for the burial of his father Jacob. They had great respect for him. There was great wealth. He was so prominent that he could have anything he wanted. And yet what he wanted was to know God better. What he wanted was not the treasures of Egypt. What he wanted was for others to know the treasures of God. And thus he was interested in having his bones taken back to that place. Turn over to the book of Exodus with me quickly. Exodus 13. Verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones away hence with you. Moses then said to everybody, remember they were there 400 years in Egypt. They begin the Exodus, they leave after the last of the plagues, they're on their way, they're in the wilderness, but they said, don't forget the bones of Joseph. They remained there all that time. Now, why did they stay there? Why didn't they bury him in Canaan at that time? I believe the reason was every time anybody knew that's where Joseph is, there is his coffin, those are his bones. And every time they'd walk by there, it was a reminder, someday we're leaving here. Someday we're getting out of this place and we're going to a land of promise. I mean, he being dead yet speaketh. Those bones spoke. He had a testimony that one day we'll be back in that land. Now, that had been promised to Abraham as part of that covenant. It had been confirmed through Jacob. He knew for a fact, by faith, we are going to leave this place because God has promised a land and we'll be there. Just as sure as that, we today know there's a prepared place for prepared people. I hope you don't mind. Kenny's 71. He's been the treasurer for 140 years in the church. Now, it's probably not going to last another 140 years. I'm not going to be the pastor for another 140 years. But as sure as we die, we have a better place. All the worries here on this earth are gone. There's something better. There is something that is awaiting every believer. And we believe that by faith. Joseph is that testimony to us. His bones speak to us. He knew God's promise can be believed. Faith is believing the word of God. It is believing what God said. And God said, there's a place prepared for you and me. We have that belief and trust by faith that someday we're going to go meet our Savior. Someday heaven will be ours. In Joshua 24:32, Joshua said, and the bones of Joseph with the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem. And a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Joseph knew one day he would be buried in the land of Canaan. Therefore, he was not buried in Egypt. He didn't stay behind. He understood he was a pilgrim. He was looking for that city, just like Abraham was looking for that city, whose builder and maker is God. If all that you had was what we have here on this earth, you would be miserable to think that's all that you had. And people fight, they try to gain control, they want power, they want money, they want this and that. There'll be no striving. We go to heaven. It's all over. We are at peace and at rest with Him. Genesis 15 and verse 13. And He said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. He's prophesying about going into Egypt. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. He's telling them specifically what's going to happen. This came from God. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Do you think Joseph knew this? Absolutely. He believed it by faith. He said it's going to happen. Now in history, we look in hindsight and say, of course it happened. He looked forward when there was no hope or indication it would ever happen. Just like the Jewish nation did not exist after the 70 AD, the temple's destroyed, the Jews are scattered. Not until 1948 were they a nation. All the way up to that point, people thought, this is not possible. We'll have to reinterpret the Bible. They're not even a nation. There's no hope they would ever be a nation. It is a wasteland in Israel. And if you go there today, just interesting little things that you find out. They're planting millions of trees in Israel. They have fish ponds. They make drugs. They're dredging things out of the Dead Sea and selling them worldwide. Chemicals that it is unbelievable what's going on there. When my wife and I went to Israel, I guess it would have been somewhere around 1985 or 6, something like that. We went to Bethlehem, and it was a very small community, a very small town, even then. This time we went back, it was unrecognizable. Standing there, you could see 40 of these huge cranes building more buildings. You see, the fulfillment of God working through that nation again is happening. It's going on as we speak. And it's happening all over the country. When you go north, the country of Israel has sort of a mountainous region in the middle. The Dead Sea and the lower valley on one side, and then the foothills and then the plain going out to the Mediterranean Sea. But when you go north, once you get past Dan, or if you go very far, the very northern part, there's nothing there. We go back, and there are cities just built came out of nowhere. Place where there was nothing. They're building everywhere. If you go back before 1948, you'd say, that's an impossibility. And yet, it's happening partly because the fulfillment of Scripture, where that nation is important in the end time. And there will be a 7-year tribulation that occurs, and that's very significant about Israel being in that land. And it's happening. We see it. This was believed by faith. You know, there are certain things like that. The rapture of the church, I'm just confident that's going to happen someday. Absolutely confident, because it's in Scripture. When I see what's happening with the nation of Israel, I'm confident that's not going to go backwards. They are going to be a prominent force, and all the nations are going to come against them. I'm absolutely certain of that. Now, when it happens, I don't know. There's going to be a false prophet. There's going to be a beast. There's going to be the mark of the beast. I'm absolutely confident. We're seeing it develop before our eyes, some of those things. I'm absolutely confident of that. Well, there are things that Joseph couldn't see that were hundreds of years in front of him. But he was confident it was going to happen. He believed it was going to happen. The patriarch could no longer warn and command his descendants with the voice of a living man. His tongue was mute in death, but there was the eloquence of his skeleton that remained. And that was the command to take this skeleton back, because you're going back. That's the promise of the Word of God. The other aspect of it is you must conclude that Joseph believed he would live again, that there would be a resurrection. To take his bones back, I think, was more than just being there, But that also he would be raised again at a resurrection. So there is that story that relates to us as well, that we believe there will be a resurrection. And that body that's put in the grave is the seed that will sprout and be raised again to be with the Lord. So there's a portrait of a great man. And boy, we could talk about so many things about Joseph, how he was ridiculed, but he didn't complain. He was sold into slavery, and everything he did, just he was promoted. How he was mistreated in Potiphar's house, how the butcher and the butler, or the baker and the butler, forgot that he had prophesied what was going to happen. And over again, you see all these things that happened to him, and yet he just was faithful. God worked in his life in a very special and unusual way like no one else. And he had these visions and dreams, and he could interpret them, and that's how he got in that position, so that he was second command under the Pharaoh. There was nothing left that he did not have control of. You could say a lot of things about him, his prominence and wealth and everything else, but the thing that mentions about his faith is, you're leaving and there'll be deliverance to get in back into the land of Canaan and fulfill that covenant promise. And I want you to take my bones back because it's significant that they be there. You could say that he was a self-made man. You could say, wow, how great this man is. I personally know Joseph. I saw him. I mean, you could say things about him like a celebrity. But the truth is, he understood he was not a self-made man. He was a God man. God made him. It was the working of God that brought him to where he was. There was a moral greatness about him. There was something that within his life, he sought to honor God. So quickly, let me just say there's a few things that stand out. First of all, there is the power of faith, the endurance of true faith under testing. That's when you know when you're tested, is your faith strong? What do you do when things go wrong? You know, your car breaks down. How's your testimony now? I remember once we were getting ready to go to church and the dog jumped in the car. My father tried to kick him and hit his toe on the door and broke the toenail off his foot. I wasn't old enough. It didn't matter to me, but my father was pretty upset. You know, and if you could be a farmer and the pigs get out and you start chasing them and you don't swear, that's a test of your Christian character, I'll tell you. There's a test that we all have to face. And what do we do under trial and testing? There's a power of faith over worldly prosperity. He could have been tempted to say, you know what, family? I'm about to die, but you've got it made here. Don't blow it. You can be wealthy. You can have a beautiful place to live. And, you know, you're going to continue to prosper. You've got it made. He didn't mention any of that. That was insignificant. He had the power of faith to overcome worldly prosperity. The power of faith that he exhibited over death, knowing that he would be raised again. And it was an example of the power of faith and impossibilities. All this seemed unlikely. How could this ever happen? How could they get everybody there when Egypt had them in slavery? It seemed impossible. But God, through those three patriarchs, over and over again, did the impossible. There's a little phrase in the Bible, but God. That's a powerful statement. If you took God out of the situation, you'd say, it's impossible. But when you put God in it, it changes everything. And how many of them tried to do it their own way, in their own power, in their own flesh? It didn't work. But God came to their rescue, and he performed that which seemed totally impossible. And then we see the workings of that faith. Joseph would not be an Egyptian. He lived most of his life in Egypt. And yet, he knew there was a better home, a better place. His faith constrained him to have fellowship with the people of God, and it became more important about his family and exhibiting God in their lives than it did about prominence in the land of Egypt. On his deathbed, he said, I die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land. He'll bring you to a land which he promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Having faith, he would encourage the faith of others. When you see somebody with great faith, it challenges you. Dr. Robertson so many times would make a statement, a simple statement, have faith in God. How many times do you hear that? Hundreds of times, probably. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Sometimes I still, to this day, think about what would Dr. Robertson do? What would he think? It had an influence on me. I don't realize how, sometimes I forget how indebted I am to him and his example of faith. When you see somebody step out in faith and do things for God, it inspires others to live by faith. Hey, let's just follow God. Just do what's right. Let's, God led us, then let's follow through with it. So he had encouraged the faith of others. And he encouraged them, take my bones. He said, have that belief. Some days is coming. And that all the people died that heard that, they had to pass it on to their children and to the next generation. And they said, remember what we were told. We got to take his bones with us. Moses made sure. Joshua made sure. Make sure you got the bones of Joseph. So it passed on several generations. That's what faith can do. Joseph's faith made him have an eye to the spiritualities of the covenant, seeing the significance of it, that they were to be a testimony to the nations around. They were representing God to the people of the earth. He saw that and understood it. Joseph's faith in connection with his unburied bones showed itself in a willingness to wait on God's time. I think for me, maybe for some of you, I would have thought, okay, once I die, take me up there right away. But there was a reason to wait on God's timing. It was a reminder to those still there that one day we're going. God had a perfect time. They just had to wait for it. Faith doesn't always happen the way we want it, when we want it. We just trust God, have patience. He'll bring it to pass. And then we see his faith in the time of death. If you imitate Joseph, you do what Joseph did. He had a faith in the covenant. He believed what God told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his father. Then we believe what we know in the Bible. What he's saying to these Hebrew Christians here in the book of Hebrews, here is a man that had faith that all these things would come to pass. Just he didn't see it happen. It didn't happen in his lifetime. It happened hundreds of years after he died. Just keep following in faith. Just keep going. Just, when you can't see the end, just obey God. Do what's right. And I'll tell you, there are times when you can't see how it's going to work out. You don't know what's going to happen. But you just follow God. And Joseph's an example to us. And he took encouragement, consolation, that it would have an impact on that nation and those people and a testimony for God. The Christian Hebrews of the first century needed a like precious faith. These three patriarchs all were an example of that. Joseph also was an example. So all of the people would be challenged. Don't give up. Don't quit. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Just follow God. Obey God. Live by faith. Have faith in God. Let's bow for prayer.